Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
Good morning. The subject of my message today is Jesus Christ. My scripture reading concerns the people of Jesus Christ, his brethren, his elect. My title, and I'm going to give you this first before I read it, the scripture. My title this morning is one of the most misunderstood doctrines of Jesus Christ. Election. It is also, I believe, one of the most hated doctrines of Jesus Christ. If not the most hated. Now, I'm not going to use great theological words or so-called high doctrine. I'm just going to plainly use what the Bible says about election. And I'll tell you this in front of it. There's a lot more about election in the scriptures than most people know. There's also a lot more about election in the scriptures than most people want to know. But that's their problem, not mine. Romans chapter 11 is where I'm going to read, and I'm going to begin in verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I want to point out just a couple things before I get into the meat of the message. Notice very carefully when God answered Elijah in the Old Testament, he said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. Then he says, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Very carefully, understand this, and this is a key. God did not say that he had reserved unto himself 7,000 men because they had not bowed the knee to Baal. God said he reserved them first. That's why they didn't worship Baal. Folks, very simply, that's a definition of election right there. Here's the point. Remember this throughout everything else I say, if you can. God's work always comes before man's work. You understand, when we talk about election, and I understand some people may think we put too much upon it. They're wrong, but they may think that. But they have a tendency to say, you don't do anything about man's work. You're always talking about God's work. Well, that's because God's work is much more important than man's work. Totally. God's work, there wouldn't be any man's work without God's work. Because here's the thing, Paul wrote, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, he only wrote that once in the scripture, but I'm going to tell you something. That's true out the entirety of your life. That's true up to the entirety of this whole world. Any good work done was done by God, even though he used you. But here, Paul says this, even so then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Understand what Paul just wrote here. And he wrote this, excuse me, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is as true as it can get. In Elijah's day, the Old Testament, there was an election of grace. And in Paul's day, somewhere around 1950 years ago, whatever it is, 2,000 years ago, in Paul's day, there was an election of grace in which the Lord, in Paul's day, had reserved some unto himself. Some people, again, I say, some people think we make too much of this. Elections, you know, elections just barely mentioned in the scriptures. You know, have you ever heard that? That's a load of hooey. That's a lie, is what it is. Now let's start right here. Election, the word election, is the translation of a Greek noun, meaning, directly meaning this, selection, selection, or chosen. This word noun is used 7 times in the New Testament, 6 of them by the Apostle Paul, 1 by Peter. And the word elect, which is the adjective form of the word election, is used 16 times, speaking of the elect, or elect person, elect assembly, elect congregation, elect people. That's used 16 times. Now, the root word of both of those words, the noun and the adjective, election and elect, I know it's getting a little English lesson here, but it, trust me, I got a point. The root word is used, it's a verb, actually, that the noun and the adjective come from. The root word is used 25 times. So, elect, election, and the root word are used a total of 48 times in the New Testament. Some of them by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, see, election's just barely mentioned in the scripture. Isn't that what they say? Have you heard that before? I suspect some preachers are scared of this. Actually, I know some are. They have told other preachers that I know. I know election's in the Bible, but I can't preach it. It would split my church. Well, folks, if that's the case, your church needs to be split. Because Paul stated in Acts, that he had not shunned to preach the whole counsel of God. And we are to do no less. Besides, Christ's church is his body. and his body never splits. Oh, I know some may leave, but Paul also talked about that. They leave because they never were apart, was it John? They leave, and it's making manifest that they were never of us. Christ's body never splits. He has placed his members in particular where exactly where he wants them. But I haven't told you yet what is the root form of election, the verb, which denotes action, a verb does. Another English, I know. The root word that's used 25 times in the New Testament for elect and election is this word, chosen. It's the exact same word. It's the root word, and this is the way the Greek seems to work from my little bitty studying of it. The verb seems to be the main word, and then the branches off, adds on to it to change it to a noun or to an adjective or an adverb. Don't need to know that. I just threw it in for some reason. But the word used 25 times in the New Testament, the root form of the word election is this word chosen. So, what did Jesus Christ say about your choice? On John 15, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now listen, here's the verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's the word elect and election comes from. And ordained you that ye should go forth, ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, I suspect some of you might have heard this before. It's way too common. Election is like this. God's voting for you, and the devil's voting against you. And you've got the final vote. You cast the deciding vote. No. No, and no. Election, scriptural election, is not like that. I know preachers like to say it is. It's been a great story. It's been handed out. I've heard it 30-some years now. But it's a lie. It always has been a lie. It always will be a lie. Matter of fact, it's what we call a bald-faced lie. Because here's what Jesus Christ said. You didn't cast the deciding vote. You didn't choose me. You understand? He didn't say, well, you didn't choose me until I chose you. He said, no, you didn't. Now, what did Jesus Christ mean by that? He meant that you did not choose him. He meant that his disciples, they didn't choose him. Matter of fact, he told him one time, have I not chosen you 12? And one of you's a devil. He knew from the beginning that Judas would betray him. But this, where he's talking to these disciples, is you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. That's election. Election is the work of God. And Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And here's the question. Who are you going to believe? Preachers? Men? Or Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, you have not chosen me. And he meant it. He meant it. What did Paul go on to say? This election is of grace. Election is of grace. And he clears it up. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, it's not grace. It is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You understand, God's not waiting on you to cast the deciding vote. The voting's over. This is an election of grace. And if it's of grace, it's not of works. Now, I have also heard the story, the fable, the lie, but the way election works is that God looked ahead. Because he does say it here. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. It's Romans 11 and 1 and 2. Romans 11 and verse 2. God looked ahead and he saw that you would choose him. Or that you would believe. Or that you would respond. Or that you would come to him. And that's why he chose you. That's a lie. It's not of works. Paul says that. It's not of works. It's not of works. It's of grace. Election is of grace. You understand, Paul is incredibly clear here. And that's usually the way it works. The Bible is clear, and men stir up mud or throw in mud or add mud anytime and any place they can. They can't take the clear, clean Word of God as it is. Because here, I want to tell you something. The Bible is not a book about what you can do for God. The Bible is a book of Christ. The Bible is about the work of Christ. It's not about you, it's about God. And you see where he says that here? I'm going to give you the definition of foreknowledge. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. That's not like seeing into the future. No. The best definition for foreknowledge I've ever heard is in Acts chapter 15. Where James, I believe it is, says this, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. That's foreknowledge. You understand? Any of our works are because he worked in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But known unto God are all his works. Oh, from the beginning. Election is all of grace. This is the crux of the matter. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 and 8, what did he write about grace? He says, we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And guess what? Here in Romans 11, he tells us that election is of grace. Election is of grace. What's that mean? That means election and salvation are connected in grace. And what's that mean? Well, election and salvation are not of works. Choosing by God has absolutely nothing to do with man or man's works. Paul tells us here, very plainly. You understand? He's not leaving anything to chance. If you can read and comprehend, work and grace are complete opposites. Grace has nothing to do with work, and your works have nothing to do with grace. And grace has everything to do with salvation. Therefore, salvation is not of works, it's of Christ. Therefore, election is not of works, it's of Christ. It's of grace. I have chosen you, and he said, what? And ordained you. Why? To bear fruit. And your fruit's going to remain. Election is not of works. Either in the... Ephesians 1 and 4 says this, according as he hath chosen us in him. Guess what? That's a root word for elect and election. He has chosen us in him when? When did election happen? Before the foundation of the world. You weren't even there. I wasn't even there. Paul the Apostle wasn't there. The only ones there was what? Who? God. God. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, I like that. I like that. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his, what? Grace. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In Christ. In Christ. He hath chosen us. God hath chosen us in him. In Christ. I told you I was going to preach a message about Christ, and here I am talking about election. Oh no. Election is in Christ. Election is by God. The choice is by God. The choosing is God's. But that choosing is only in Christ Jesus. And then Christ Jesus brings in his elect. God has chosen us in Christ Jesus, not according to our works. And thank God for that. See, election is a doctrine. It's a sound teaching of God. But here's the thing. Our election is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And we believers are those that God chose before the foundation of the world. I know a lot of people hate that, but I love it. I love the work of God. I don't understand it all. No way. But here's the thing. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You understand? God loved us from before the foundation of the world. God chose his people before the foundation of the world. And God never changes. Never changes. You understand? If God loves you now, he's loved you before. And if God's loved you before, he loves you now, and he will always love you. Because he never changes. We change all the time. Usually not for the best. If it is grace, and it is, it's not of works. Not of what man does, and not of what man will do. Let's be clear. One thing I do want to point out. Election is not salvation. It is unto salvation. So you're getting a little picky here. Well, yeah. Yeah. Election is unto salvation. according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. What? And without blame before him in love. Things happen because of election. Oh, yeah, they happen. They do. Because of the election of God, he reaches down on a dunghill and he lifts up a beggar off of that dunghill. And he does this for the express purpose to sit him with kings and priests. And I'm going to tell you something. I was one of those beggars sitting on that dunghill. I don't want to go back to that dunghill. By his grace, I'm not going back to that dunghill. You understand? It tells you to remember the pit from which you are digged. You didn't dig yourself out of it, but remember the pit from which you are digged. Election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. Here, Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. I got to wrap this up. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. You want to know a bit, maybe just a glimpse into the source of election. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, what? Therefore, because of my love for you, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Those that the Lord loves, he draws to himself. And I believe God's election is in God's everlasting love. Now you're going to say, doesn't God love everyone? Well, that's a whole other sermon. I don't have time for it. But here's the short answer. No. Because if he loves you like this, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn him, and that is drawn in. Drug in, like you're drawing a bucket up from a well. God's word states that God's love results in the salvation of God's elect. Other sheep I have, Jesus Christ said, them I must bring. They're not in this fold right now, but they're coming in. Why? Because I'm going to bring them? Yes, I am. And they're going to come.